And what I want to do tonight is I want to do more teaching kind of than preaching, if you will. I want to lay a foundation for us so that we're all starting from the same point when it comes to the Lord's Prayer. So before we jump into the actual prayer, what I want to do tonight is I want to give you some context and a little bit about where the prayer is found in the Bible so you have some broad understanding. Actually, the Lord's Prayer appears in two places in the Bible, in Luke chapter 11 and in Matthew chapter 6. Let me read the two prayers to you. Luke chapter 11, it says this, "Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation." Then in Matthew 6, the more popular of the two versions, it says this, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Now, as I read those two versions, you probably noticed that those two versions are slightly different. And people wonder, why are the versions slightly different? The versions are slightly different because Jesus taught the Lord's Prayer more than once. And in Scripture, we have two of his teachings of the Lord's Prayer. And there may have been more times. And so that's why they're a little different. We are going to focus mostly on Matthew's version of the prayer, which is found in the middle chapter of an amazing part of Scripture. It's called the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus taught what it meant to be a kingdom person. And in the middle of this, we find Matthew chapter 6. And as Jesus is teaching the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, he teaches about true and false giving, true and false fasting, true and false praying. And he says there's a way to pray that is not how you're supposed to pray. He says, and that way of praying is to get other people's attention. He says this in Matthew 6, verse 5, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full." The ancient Jewish people, like Muslims today, had set times for prayer. And the ancient Jewish people prayed three times a day, in the morning, at midday, and at dusk. And during that time, it seems some people were falling on their knees in public and praying loudly to God these eloquent prayers. But they weren't praying to authentically communicate with God. They were praying to get noticed by other people. So other people would go, "Whoa, look at you. You're the most godly person I've ever met." And Jesus calls people that were doing that were praying to get noticed, he calls them hypocrites. And hypocrite in the Greek means showman. It means actor. You may have seen some TV preachers, and as you watch them pray, you think they're kind of like performing for the audience. That's what we're talking about here. And Jesus says, people that do that, they have their reward in full. They wanted to pray in public to get noticed by others, and they've been noticed, so they have their reward. Now, let me just be clear. Jesus was not condemning praying in public. Jesus was condemning people who pray in public just to get noticed. And so Jesus said, there's a wrong way to pray, but he also said there's a right way to pray. Verse 6 of Matthew 6. "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." The Message paraphrase puts the verse this way. Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and as honestly as you can imagine. Jesus says, rather than praying to impress others, find a private place, go to that private place, and simply and honestly pour out your heart to God. When you think about it, our most honest prayers are most often our most private prayers. It really boils down, Jesus is saying, to this. When you pray, who's your audience? Is your audience God, or is your audience other people? Are you praying authentically to God, or are you trying to impress other people? Who is your audience? And then in verse 7 and 8, Jesus says this about prayer. When you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Jesus was addressing a custom that was very popular in that day. In their secular culture back then, they had a lot of idols and false gods. And so what was happening is people would pray to the moon god or the sun god or the harvest god or any one of the other gods, and they would go on for hours and hours and hours asking the same thing over and over and over again. They were just babbling on and on. And Jesus says, don't be like them. Don't go on like that, because your Father knows what you need before you ask. And so before Jesus gets into the Lord's Prayer, he gives some teaching on prayer. And just let me sum it up for you. He says to us, don't babble on and on. And don't be like an actor when you pray. Rather, pray to God. Focus on him. Pour out your heart to him. He knows what you need. And so with that background, let's jump into the Lord's Prayer. And I'm going to actually start in Luke. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1. This is what it says. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples to pray. That was a really strange question for young Jewish men to ask. Teach us to pray. Because they had been taught at a very early age how to pray. They already knew how to pray. So why would they go to Jesus and say, Jesus, teach us how to pray? Well, about 200 years before Christ was born, the Jewish people began praying a standard prayer called the Amida, or the 18 benedictions. Jesus would have been taught the Amida. He would know how to pray it. And this was a long Jewish prayer that the Jewish people were expected to pray several times a day. Rabbis soon realized that not every person would have enough time every day to pray the Amida. So rather than omit the prayer altogether, what religious teachers did was they took the long prayer and they shortened it into their own abbreviated versions. And then they would teach their followers, if you can't pray the whole Amida, they would say, pray this version of it. And so when the disciples came to Jesus, what they were most likely saying is, Rabbi, what is your unique shortened version of the Amida? Teach it to us, just as John taught his disciples to pray. And what's interesting, if you compare the Lord's Prayer to the Amida, it is strikingly similar. The Lord's Prayer was not something that would have been new to the disciples. They wouldn't have been shocked by the request. They wouldn't have been shocked by the words. What is interesting is Jesus excludes some of the requests that are in the longer prayer. For instance, there were references to God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. There were prayer requests around the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the restoring of the temple. In Jesus' shortened version, all the Jewish trappings are stripped. There's nothing really Jewish about the Lord's Prayer. And what Jesus was doing, I think, is he was giving us a prayer that everyone could pray. Down through history, not just Jewish people. He was saying to his disciples, here's a prayer, but it's not just for you. It's a prayer that everyone can pray. And so here again are the words that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Notice this prayer moves from God's glory to our good. The first three requests are about God and his glory and his will. The remaining three requests are about our well-being. The first half of the prayer talks about God, his name, his kingdom, his will. The latter part of the prayer talks about us. Give us, forgive us, lead us. Have you ever noticed often when we pray, it's all about us? We start with us and we end with us. God, help me with my mess. God, help me with my problems. Here, God, this is what I want. This is what I need. It's all about us. God, get me out of this mess. God, give me this need. And by starting with God and his glory and his will, Jesus is shifting our focus from ourselves to God. And that is always a good shift to make. I think when we pray, we need to always start with God and then move to us. And do you notice how the prayer starts? It says, our Father in heaven. Don't miss that first word, our. It seems like an insignificant word. However, Jesus was making a powerful point by starting the Lord's Prayer with the word our. Jesus is reminding us that when we enter into a relationship with him, that when we come to the cross and we enter the kingdom and enter into a relationship with him, we're also entering into a relationship with other people. We are joining a family. We are part of a family, a big family, a worldwide family. And so we need to remember that. That's why there's no singular person pronouns anywhere in the entire prayer. Jesus did not teach us to pray, my Father who is in heaven, give me this day my daily bread and forgive me my debts as I have also forgiven my debtors. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. The singular person is completely absent. Now, that doesn't mean that our sins and our needs and our problems aren't important, but it's to ensure that we have a larger communal perspective when it comes to prayer. Our prayers are not just to focus on us. Whenever I pray, our Father, it takes my eyes off myself, and it reminds me that it's not all about me, that there's a big world out there with a lot of people. It reminds me I'm part of a larger family, not just this church family, but a Christian family all around the world. And so I think it's wise that Jesus started with the word our, and then he says Father. In the Old Testament, God is called Father 14 times, and yet nowhere in the Old Testament is God addressed as Father personally or directly in prayer. In those 14 occurrences of the word Father in the Old Testament, the term is always used as a reference to the nation of Israel, not to an individual. God was spoken of as the Father of Israel. Abraham never called God my Father. There is some evidence by the time of Jesus that the Jewish people had begun to pray to God as Father. And the Amidah, which I've already talked about, has two petitions that address God as our Father. But when we come to the New Testament, we discover that Jesus talked about God as Father more than 60 times. What does the word Father mean? The New Testament was originally written in Greek. Jesus spoke Aramaic. The word Father in Aramaic is Abba, and we're not talking about a Swedish rock band here. The word actually means daddy. It's the word Jesus would have used about Joseph, his father. He would have said Abba, daddy, to Joseph. Now, let me just get a little Bible nerdy here for a minute because it's important. The Aramaic word Abba is always translated into the Greek word pater in the New Testament. pater is not the Greek word for daddy. The Greek word for daddy is papas. But that is not the word the New Testament uses when it translates Abba. It always uses the word pater. And pater is best translated into the English as dearest father or dear father. It's not daddy. And I think Abba was translated into pater and not papas to ensure that our intimacy with God has a level of respect for God. Let me explain. We as people always throw the pendulum one way or the other, right? So we throw the pendulum way up here in our view of God, and we see God as this grumpy old man in heaven who's got a big stick, and every time you do something wrong, he's going to smack you. That's one extreme. The other extreme is way over here where we think God is just this daddy teddy bear in heaven and his whole point is to help you boost your self-esteem, right? And there's these two extremes, and that's why I think in the Bible, God is called dearest father, dear father, where we have an intimacy with God, but it's balanced with a respect and an awe of God. So that we're never flippant. In Scripture, and this is the great thing, God is called the Lord, the Most High One, the Almighty, the Eternal One, the Sovereign One, the Infinite, the Holy, the Creator, and a whole bunch of other things. And here in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus tells us to refer to God as dear Father. How awesome is that? The Mighty One, the Almighty God, says, you can call me Father. As if you're a Christian, you get to address God as Father. That's awesome. You know, sometimes I hear Christian people and they'll go, oh Lord, or they'll go, God, when they start praying, and I think they're missing it. When my boys were little, every now and then they'd say to my wife, Sylvia, they'd go, hey, Sylvia. And she would stop and she would say to him, you know what? There's only two boys in the entire world that get to call me mom. You and your brother. It's a privilege. And see, when we come to Christ, we enter into his family. And the Bible says we're adopted as sons and daughters of the Most High God. And because we're adopted as sons and daughters of the Most High God, we have the privilege of addressing the Almighty God as Father. Now, I know some of you struggle when you hear the word father because your earthly father's left a wound. Maybe it's anger, maybe it's absence, maybe it's abuse or whatever it is, but you've got this wound. And so when you hear God the Father, you say, hey, if God is like my father, no thanks. I don't need a God that was like my earthly father. But listen, your heavenly father actually wants to heal the wound that your earthly father caused. Your heavenly father will never leave you, nor forsake you, nor abuse you. He's on your side. He loves you. He cares about you. He's actually crazy about you, and he wants you to talk to him. And when you start to grasp the reality of that, it can change your life. That you have a heavenly father who loves you and wants you to talk to him. That the Almighty God says we can address him as Father. That's amazing. And as sons and daughters, we have access to the Father. Just like my sons know, they can contact me anytime and I'll listen to them. We have access to the Father and we can talk to him anytime. And not only do we have access, but God wants us simply to talk to him. When my boys were growing up, they never came to me and said, O thou most holy procreator of the Sunbe family, thou who so wonderfully bestows our allowance on us, we beseech thee for a bountiful blessing of cash so we may goeth to the mall. All right? Never happened. They said, hey, Dad, I need some money, please. And our Heavenly Father desires that we come to him in the same way. Billy Graham said this, prayer is a simple two-way conversation between you and God. Mother Teresa said, prayer is simply talking to God. He speaks to us, we listen. We speak to him, he listens. And I know some people that hesitate to pray, even privately, because they think they might sound too childish or not very religious, or they think their language might be clumsy, or they might not use the right words. Listen, our Father in heaven doesn't care about that stuff. What he cares about is we talk to him, that we have real, authentic conversations with him, that we pour out our hearts to him. You know, in the Psalms, the psalmist just poured out their hearts to God, good, bad, and ugly. And that is what God wants us to do with him. He wants us to come into his presence and just pour out our hearts to him. And when we start understanding this stuff, it is radical stuff. It is life-changing stuff. When we understand that the Almighty God says, you can call me Father, and I'll listen, because I love you and I care for you. That is life-changing. And then Jesus says, our Father in heaven. In heaven is usually a throwaway line for us, right? We don't even think about it when we pray the Lord's Prayer. We go, our Father in heaven. But to the first century Jewish hearer, to the first century Jewish person, that phrase, in heaven, would have conjured up ideas of God being on his throne. Think about that. On the throne of the universe is our Father. Yes, he's the sovereign one and the creator and the Lord and the Most High God and the Almighty Eternal One, but Jesus emphasizes throughout the Gospels again and again that on the throne is the one we get to call Father. When you pray, do you understand the power and the position that your Father has? Our Father is the one who has all authority, all power, all dominion, all greatness. Our Father is the one who rules and reigns. We could pray, our Father in heaven, our Father above all creation, our Father who has all authority and power and dominion and greatness. We have a Father who is bigger than big and closer than close. And when we start to grasp this, it puts everything in perspective. Remember when you were a little kid and you'd be in the schoolyard and go, my dad's bigger than your dad. My dad can beat your dad up. You ever do that? Okay, just me. Okay. You rest, you had wimps for dads, I guess. But whatever. But anyway, you know what? We have a Heavenly Father who is bigger than big, who can handle everything we can throw at him, can take care of every problem that we have. And when we start to understand that we have a God that's bigger and big and closer than close, it changes everything. It changes our perspective. When you pray the words, our Father in heaven, when you understand that the great God of the universe wants you to call him Father, when you grasp that truly God is bigger than big and closer than close, that he's the creator, the Lord, the sovereign one, the Most High God, the Almighty One, the Eternal One. He has all authority, all power, all dominion, and yet he's also a good, good Father. When you start to grab that deep in your soul, a sense of wonder and joy and peace and reverence and awe and worship should flood over you. So here's what I want you to do this week. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take Jesus' advice at the beginning of Matthew 6. And I want you to find a little bit of time and find a quiet, private place. And I want you to go there and pray. Just want you to book out some time. Find a private place when the kids or your spouse aren't crawling all over you and bothering you. Just go to that private place and pray. And when you pray, start by focusing on God. Not yourself, not your needs, not your problems, not Uncle Bob's hernia, whatever it is. focus first on God and simply pray the words, "Our Father in heaven," and then stop. And just sit in silence with those words and reflect on those words, "Our Father in heaven." And as you sit in silence and reflect on those words, like I just said to you, a sense of worship and awe and amazement will flood over you. And after you've done that for a bit, simply start to talk to God your Father. Speak to Him. Pour out your heart to Him. Like a good, good Father, He is listening. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for this journey we're embarking on tonight. God, I just pray that over these next weeks, not only will our understanding of You and prayer increase, but God, I pray over these next few weeks that there will be transformation in the lives of people in this church. I pray that as we journey together, we will see prayers answered like we've never seen before. God, I pray that You will raise up a passion in our lives to pray to You. But God, tonight I pray particularly that we will get a glimpse of who You are in heaven. That You're the Almighty One. You're the One with all power, all wisdom, all dominion, all greatness. But may we understand, may we grab that while You're that, You also say, "By the way, call Me Father." Father, I pray tonight that we will know to the depths of our soul that we have a Father that loves us, that we have a Heavenly Father that cares for us, that we have a Heavenly Father that's crazy about us, that we have a Heavenly Father that wants to hear from us. And so, God, I pray that that truth will grab us and change us and allow us to just worship and talk to You. In Jesus' name, amen.